The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire, quality equipment for hire and sales.
Those red lights have come on again, which is a sure sign that the Kerr's Hire Cat Attack Podcast season 745, episode 11, is underway, Kiki. A bit of a twilight slash late night edition.
Would you doesn't mean you can...
Would you classify yourself as a nocturnal animal now, Kiki, or not?
We're recording this at 5:30.
Yeah, that's late for me.
On a Thursday.
Do you still do some sharp stuff in the nocturnal hours?
Not really.
You don't? No, not anymore.
Not anymore.
Are those days over, are they?
They are gone.
Have you hung the queue up, have you?
You're an idiot.
What?
Just because it's a bit later in the day.
Yeah, we're starting to work a bit.
You can't, well, you can work.
No, are you first up from a spell, or do you? How does it work in your ranch?
Can we talk footy? Because we've got to knock this over.
You've got other commitments, Kiki.
Well, the team comes out in 50
Have you got a text message?
No.
To say rush home, have you?
No.
For your spag bowl.
No, I've got work to do.
Oh, good.
That was ship on Saturday night.
Yeah, that was Shizen, isn't it? Wasn't it? The Cats were deplorable, weren't they? They kicked the first two goals and...
three of the first four, didn't they?
Yeah, and then that was it. The queue was in the rack. They were very, very ordinary, which the Cats can sometimes do. I think every side this year is going to throw in the odd game or two like that. You know, the better sides are actually able to... You know, to not do that as often, obviously, and the gap between their best and their worst is not huge. Geelong, yeah, that was one of the poorer efforts of recent times.
It was, despite the margin being, obviously less. I still think better is not the right word, but I think they got more out of the Gold Coast performance than they did out of.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't think they gave themselves a real shot against Gold Coast. They went up there and. You know,
it was another practice match.
Yeah, I think so. They picked a team like that, and they perhaps played like that, and that's fine. That they, you know, and I think a few clubs have done that. We've spoken about it before. Adelaide probably did a similar thing against the Cats, albeit they nearly rolled the Cats. They played really well, but yeah, they were shizen. They just the ability of Port Adelaide to move the ball from one end to the other.
Yep.
I saw some vision. It's been highlighted on a few of the shows of just some of the defensive work of the Cats was way off. The midfield was off. Dangerfield couldn't get near it.
And that's going to happen more and more.
Well, I've said that. He's playing in a position now. Dangerfield's bad. He's going to be bad. Hmm. Like, bad. And he had one kick.
Yeah.
That was it. Yeah. The whole night.
Kick the goal.
What would you, if you had a little snifter of a lobster on that with your preferred betting agency and bet responsibly, and do you know what else happens, Kiki?
Right.
Yeah. What odds would you have got about Patrick Dangerfield having one kick?
Four figures.
You would have got pretty big odds.
Yeah.
One kick.
One kick.
He was putrid. And he had a few mates. We've spoken about, obviously, Mitch. That'll be Patrick Dangerfield now ringing to tell me that he's going to have a big one this week. Mitch Edwards looked, he looked weary Dunlop. He looked like
he needs a spell.
Yeah.
He's off to the paddock.
Yeah. He needs 10 days on the water walker just to freshen up.
Yeah.
Look, he's done a good job, but he looked very, very tired.
It'd be very interesting to see whether they actually give Reece Stanley the next two against Collingwood. In terms of, because if next Saturday is then a 5-day break into Brisbane.
Darcy Cameron.
Yeah. So maybe Stanley against Cameron and then Edwards comes back for the trip to Brisbane.
I think it'd be dependent on how Stanley went.
Mm.
If Stanley stinks it right up, I mean, and in fairness, he's coming up against, you know, I know North Melbourne aren't a sexy team, but that Tristan Cherry's a very good player. He's an elite ruckman in top three in the competition. So Stanley... You know, unfortunately, he's not coming in against a bunny. So he's going to need to be.
If he comes in, we're only.
Well, you would have thought. I mean, we have been wrong before, but yeah, Mitch Edwards did look. He looked like he was born tired and just got tighter as the night went on. So, I mean, look, Geelong, did they have a good player on the night? Bailey Smith tried hard, but he didn't get real bang for his buck. Max Holmes was off. Tom Atkins was certainly off. And we've got one of the issues, Kingy, which has struck us, the Cats, us. And we've spoken about it on the Kerrs High. Thanks to Jerome and the team there at Kerrs High who do a wonderful
job. Hello, Jared.
Yeah, well under Jared, Jerome. He wouldn't have been that thrilled with the Cats effort on
Tom Stewart was good on Saturday night.
Played okay. Don't be fooled by possessions. They're all kick-ins.
But he still...
I think he had about 14 kick-ins.
But he was so, still...
Yeah, he was okay. It wasn't great. I saw there was a few defensive efforts. He was completely in the wrong position. But he wasn't horrific. But we probably didn't have a clear winner on the night,
no.
Which is unusual.
O'Sullivan played well.
He did. Yes, you're right. There he did. Even to the point where I love the way he just showed supreme confidence late in the game when the game was over. I mean, Geelong weren't in the game, but he just cleaned out Mark Georgiadis from behind him.
Yeah.
Which is that I know it's only a little thing, and yes, some would say you should punch, and yeah, I get all that. And had Georgiadis marked it, you'd be saying the kid needs to punch and learn from it. But he had the confidence to just say, "I'm going to pluck this straight over the top of you,"
and the judgment.
Yeah, yep. I know, and look, it's one mark, but there's just a snapshot of how confident he's getting that he's up against the guy who's just kicked 4-6 and probably should have kicked about 8. And he's just gone bang straight over the top, and I'll mark this. I love the way he's trekking in every department in terms of his play, in terms of his leadership, in terms of the way he speaks, in terms of Geelong have hit the jackpot with that pick.
I think they'll find somebody for 2 years to captain the Cats after Dangerfield, and he's the man.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. I think he's trending in that direction. I think Lawson Humphries is another one that's got some good leadership, and was good to see, albeit perhaps not leadership material in terms of captain, but great to see Shannon Neal signing on till 2030. I think Ollie Wiltshire signed on again.
He's got another year.
Yeah, yep. And what about the coach just launching his torso up there at the Gold Coast during the week?
Heard about that.
Yeah. So 2 days out from the Port Adelaide game, he's on the Gold Coast, and he's just maybe just casting his eye over them like the Magic Million sales up there, King. Yeah, just Jerry Harvey style.
Seeing what sort of...
Who? So the names that were listed were Ben King. Geelong won't be getting Ben King.
No.
Well, Ben King's not coming to Geelong.
No.
You've got Cameron, probably got a couple of years.
Yep.
And you've got Shannon Neal. Bailey Humphrey.
Yep.
My pants would be sort of... down towards the ankle regions if we got Bailey Humphrey.
Yep.
He is an absolute gun. Jed Walter. Now, Jed Walter's an interesting one because could he be the one that thinks, yeah, okay, Cameron's only got a year or two left. I can come in there.
Play foil to Shannon Neal.
Those two together, Jed, they'd be like, they're both super quick and both huge. That would be an unbelievable combination. There was one other player they mentioned there too, Gingy, in the field of four that the Cats were supposedly interested in, the name escapes me.
Yeah.
Anyway, interesting that you would have to think, and I'm no expert on this, how this works, but for Chris Scott to be going up there, flying up there, 2 or 3 days out from a game in another state, not the state that his team plays but another state, there would have to be some level of interest from the player.
Yeah. He's not going up there just to...
He's not going up there and pulling the six iron out and then looking over and thinking, oh, do you want to play the Cats?
Yeah.
And he's thinking, what? There must be... There's got to be something to that now. Yeah. Is he going up there to help push it over the line or to create even more, create even more of an interest layer for the player?
Push the discussion
possibly
forward.
Possibly. But you would have to... Would you say I'm right in saying that? There'd have to be some level from the management.
You're not going up there...
On the whim that he might be... Yeah, so
you're
anyway,
not,
if it was Bailey Humphrey, Kingy, we need to be... Do you think that if it was Bailey Humphrey, then the Cats have got word that Butters has no interest?
Because
you're not getting both.
Yeah, potentially. But Butters, there's talk that Butters has got no interest in Hawthorn.
Which is for what reason?
I don't know, but that's what's...
But Butters, I...
Well, not no interest, but that Hawthorn's unlikely to...
You keep hearing Geelong and the Bulldogs.
Yes.
But the thing about it is, I mean, I know Butters was talking during the week that he's not making a decision till the end of the year. That is the greatest load of shit I've ever heard. Clubs need to know. They need to plan. If he says to Geelong, I'm not coming to Geelong, Geelong move on to the next player.
Yeah.
They can't wait till the end of the year and then go, oh, geez, he's not coming to us. Well, we've missed other blokes we could have got.
Yeah.
So
Clubs would set a deadline and say, we need to know.
Every club, what he's doing now, the club would know.
Yep.
Wherever he's going...
Yeah,
the deal would be in place.
Port Adelaide probably don't know where he's going.
If he's smart, he would go and say to the CEO, "This is what I'm doing." Because Port Adelaide need to plan as well.
That's true.
That would be a prick's act to not tell your team that you that's drafted you, supported you, built you up into the player you are, allowed you to then go and earn a zillion-dollar contract somewhere else and then not tell them. They would need to know for their planning as well. So there'd be two or three people at Port Adelaide who know what's happening. And I was actually texting a recruiter at Port Adelaide, and he was texting me during the game saying how elite Port Adelaide's coaching staff are. And I text back saying, yeah, look, they're pulling our pants down at the moment in terms of the Cats having a bad night. And he goes, Butters is... He texts back saying, Butters is killing Mullen. And I text back saying, yeah, probably be playing for the Cats next year. And he wrote back, no chance.
Yeah, right.
So, you know, it'd be interesting because clearly he's not in the know, but... If it is Geelong, Geelong would know. If it's the Bulldogs would know. And I'd be staggered if Port... He'd be doing a disservice to Port Adelaide to not tell them. Do you reckon Patrick Dangerfield told Adelaide what he was doing?
He did in July. He's come out and said that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think he let...
They need to plan. Yeah. This is not a tier four player who's getting 300 grand.
Yeah.
This is an elite player who's on a multi-million dollar contract that impacts both the club he's going to, or seriously impacts the, because it'll impact the salary cap, and then they have to plan around that, and it impacts Port Adelaide.
Yep. We'll wait and see.
Yeah.
Wait and see.
But if Bailey Humphrey comes, Kingy,
you'll be
to the Cats, I'd be. He's elite, and he's only going to get better.
You're a fan.
And yeah, if anybody who watches footy and you don't get a level of arousal, Kingy.
Yeah.
Talking about arousal, we've got time for a really quick joke.
No.
We have.
I legitimately don't have time.
Kingy, it's funny. It's funny. This guy.
I don't care whether it's funny or not.
This guy.
Because if it's any shade of blue, then I've got to cut it out.
No, you won't.
You're creating more work.
You won't need to cut it out, Kingy. This is not offending anybody. Guy goes to the nudist colony. Kingy's just edited out a very funny joke about a bloke at the nudist colony who... anyway.
That's where. Bad luck.
Yeah. Anyway.
Use your own imagination. Type it into Google. And see what you come up with.
See what you come up with. The guy at the nudist colony who...
Yes, North Melbourne this week, Ben.
Yes, that's who we're playing.
Yes.
Look, the North Melbourne aren't the North Melbourne of old.
No, they're new.
No, they're new the shin boners. Mm. They're building. They don't defend that well, and GWS took advantage. They probably could have nearly beaten GWS. They attack really well. They've got a really deep midfield. Comben is an interesting one. He missed last week. He's a key player for them, and there's talk. He's a 50-50 for this week.
Would he go to Neil?
If he plays, yeah. He's quite a good defender. He's pretty physical, but he had an illness. So it must have been a reasonable illness. So there was talk that he was no certainty to come in. You'd have to think he'd be a chance off an illness, but the fact that there was talk that he was an uncertainty. They've got a really healthy list, North. They don't have many injuries at all. You're talking about some elite talent that's starting to find its feet in Sheezel, in Wardlaw, in Powell, in O'Sullivan. You've got up forward, you've got Curtis, you've got Larky, you've got Trembarth who flies at everything. They're not. You don't want to be having a poor game against North Melbourne now because they will beat you. And I know, I reckon it's another really good test for the Cats because the Cats that we're accustomed to come out and win on Saturday.
Yep.
They'll bounce back from last week. They'll play a lot more pressure style of footy. They'll find a way to win. And you would think against North Melbourne probably win comprehensively. So when I say comprehensively, that's a 4 or 5 goal margin. I'm not suggesting they're going to come out and win by 12 goals.
70 points, Zach Tui style.
Yeah, he predicted 70 points against Port Adelaide.
He's only 100 points out.
Yeah, we should have been 130 out. Geelong should have lost by 10 goals. But so. Geelong need to play well this week, so that's why I reckon it's a really good test. North will be steeling themselves for a big game because they've started the year well. And as I said, I watched the game last week against GWS, and you could argue that they're a bit unlucky. They just don't defend that well. But Geelong have got their problems now. I heard Chris Scott talk about it after the game, and he made, as much as I'm not... I'm a fan of him as a football coach, but people who listen to this know how I feel. But he made a really good point in that he said that we don't want to be jumping at shadows and changing all sorts of things off the back of one poor performance. Because if you do that and then you get beaten the next week, then you don't really have a benchmark of what really is working for you. So he said you need to see a pattern of things over the course of, he didn't say for how long, but I'm tipping maybe a month, 3 to 4 weeks probably as a minimum, before you start saying, yep, that's an issue, we need to address it. So I don't expect the Cats to be doing anything different. They had a really bad night against Port Adelaide. A team's going to have bad days in this competition. Yes, Geelong need to find a way to beat North. They wouldn't want to be losing to North at home in the context of their season. Yeah. So it's, as I said, a really, really good test. And I agree wholeheartedly with Chris Scott in that you don't want to be, you don't want to be reacting savagely to one poor performance. Mm. Because they had... The only thing that I reckon is a pattern, is becoming a little bit of a pattern, is that the mid-sized, with Myers out,
yep,
Close is going horribly. I don't know what they do there. They keep managing him. He needs to just say omitted and go back to the twos.
Yep.
Ollie Henry's just going. He's
having a crack.
He's having a crack. There's no doubt about that. Yes. He's just going. He's not really providing you much in front of goal. He doesn't provide you much defensively. He's having a go, yes. Manner is struggling.
He played well against the Dogs, but I suspect that was the benefit of the Dogs being bad.
Yeah, they won by 1,000 points. So he's had a month of three ordinary ones, one okay one, in a team that where the ball's all going one way.
Yep.
So he that's another pattern there. The forward line isn't working. Dangerfield was good against the Bulldogs, was diabolical against Port Adelaide. You know, is he going to play that badly again? You wouldn't have thought. What I'm trying to say is that suddenly it's become really unpredictable up forward.
Yeah. What was Geelong's strength 6 weeks ago is now their struggle.
In what? In terms of forward?
Small forward, yeah.
Well, I mean, Stengel's obviously not coming back.
Yeah. Myers being out.
It's become, they've got some really inconsistent players up forward and are trying to find that mix. That's why I thought it was a little bit odd that they dropped Wilshire out.
Mm.
Because
he'll have to play.
Speed sort of, and I know I'm not suggesting he's a six game or whatever he is, he's going to come in and bloody have 20 and kick four, but he's a bit of a speed. He's something different.
Yep.
There's a fair bit of the same about Close, about Henry, about Martin, about Dangerfield.
Manner's
a bit different. He can go into the midfield. Mm. So I'd like to see maybe get into the midfield a bit more, Manner. Maybe he doesn't have a tank to do it, but he needs to go into the midfield. No, is Myers coming back this week?
No, Myers is 1-3. He moved all right. I watched a bit of training on Tuesday. Myers moved actually really well. I'll tell you who did move well at training. Reece Stanley actually moved really well.
So you think Reece comes in for Mitchell?
I'd be shocked if he didn't.
Wilshire comes in close, you have to think, would go out.
Yeah.
I mean, you could drop Manor, you could drop Henry, but you'd have to think Close is the one that has been the most ordinary of the three.
I would think Colajasny's got to come back.
Yeah, they've got Larky. So you want Deconing comes back in for Larky. Larky's a gun. Like, he's a genuine gun.
Where's Zerha going to play?
Well, he's been playing down back.
Yeah.
So that's fine. I'm happy for him to play down back because he's sort of one of those players that struggle.
Trembath?
Yeah, well, he's only young, but, God, he's athletic.
And who goes to Curtis?
I'd be going Jack Henry on Trembath.
And who goes to Curtis?
Well, that's where I'd be picking Colajasny. I reckon he's a good matchup for Curtis.
Yeah.
Curtis is super strong. He's pretty agile, which... maybe doesn't suit Colajasny to a degree, but I'd be going.
Colajasny go to Darling?
Well, I'd be just putting. I'd be just. I don't.
Colajasny's always.
I think Darling's a threat. He's not a threat. I mean, he probably bother and kick five. Pay your respect.
Pay respect.
I can't believe you're going to take that joke out from earlier about the nudist colony.
Can we move on?
Just leave it in and see what happens.
Yeah.
Just throw caution to the wind. It's nobody's going to get offended.
Yeah,
I didn't offend any group.
I'm sure somebody will, though. Can we move on?
Who would get offended?
We need to
contact
on.
Me.
But I'm the one that cops the heat.
No, you don't.
Yeah,
just
I
put
do.
Put him on straight onto me.
No, put him straight onto you. Here's Ben's number. Ring him.
Yeah. And then I'll be able to talk him through it.
Yeah, right. Explain it to him.
Yeah.
Questions. Do you want questions?
Oh, look. I absolutely love questions.
You love questions. I've got questions about you. Anyway, right. Just got to scroll down. Please hold caller. Cat Attack Podcast. Oh, we've got a few. All right. Andrew Daly. Not much to say from the weekend. It wasn't pretty. Just we've been doing this for years now. Just need to regroup and smash North this week like Spalding Smales was going to do to the cheeseburger, hot dog and milkshake at the turn in the big match.
Is that when Spalding... Yeah. I want a hot dog.
You'll get nothing.
You'll get nothing. And like it.
Dr. Tough Watch, Dr. Venkman, I thought I was watching the New York Jets playing for a while there. If you count the grand final, that's three horror shows in 9 games. We're now 8 rounds in. Good sample size. Where are the Cats at? Top 6 or more, 7-12. Come back to me at the end of May.
Oh, I think they're still top six.
The month of May is going to tell a lot. It's a tough month. Collingwood at the G. Trip to Brisbane.
That will be a big game. I'm not rating Collingwood. I think Collingwood are going to be somewhere 8 to 10.
Trip to Brisbane.
Yeah, well, you're probably losing that, but we won't be the only club there.
Swans coming here.
That's a big game. That's a really big game here.
And then Carlton at the G to round
things
out.
Well, I'll beat Carlton if you're playing you and me, I reckon.
If you got 3-2 out of the month, takes you to 7-5.
Okay, do you want me to go with the prediction?
Yep.
My prediction will be the Cats will go 3-1 in that period.
No, 3-2, and there's 5 games in May.
No, well, so you're counting this week?
Yeah.
Sorry, well, 4-1.
You think I'll go 4-1?
I'll beat North. Yep. I'll beat Collingwood. Collingwood are rubbish.
Yep.
No, they beat Essendon, but Port Arlington could beat Essendon. Maybe not, but Newcombe probably would. They'll beat North, they'll beat Collingwood, they'll lose to Brisbane, they'll beat Sydney down here, and they'll beat Carlton.
Okay.
That'll be my prediction.
So 4-1 has them 8-4.
Yeah, and you're in the box seat. You're in just the Greggy Sugars, rest in peace.
Mm. Kodak Sprintlane.
Well, I don't know if you're in the Kodak Sprintlane. You're probably one out, one back, about to pull three spiders wide.
Okay.
Have you ever pulled out three spiders wide, Kingy?
Damien Tedesco.
Mr. Tedesco.
Boys, why pull out SDK before the game? They say managed, not sure. Is Henry 100%? Doesn't look like playing fully fit. That's Jack he's talking about. Haven't seen his kick from defensive 50 that bad in a while. Let's hope Blitz can play on Saturday. He won't be. What is going on with Close and Manor? Not good form. Need a win.
Yes. A default position when somebody who's a pretty good player doesn't play well is that they're injured.
Mm.
Now, what do you reckon Mitch Georgiadis gets paid? 800K?
There it is.
Yeah. Is he one of the more enigmatic forwards in the game?
Yep.
If he gets going, I don't care if you've got Bruce Duell on him, he's going to be hard to stop.
He's fun to watch.
Yeah. And if your team is getting their pants pulled down in the midfield, like Geelong's was, who's receiving that helps?
Georgiadis.
Yeah. So I don't buy that Jack Henry was injured or, you know, he had a bad game. He wasn't helped out by his teammates. And defence is so crucial in terms of what happens up the field. And some of the vision I saw of the ball getting whisked down the middle to, you know, it was, you could have Matthew Scarlett, David Dench, Stephen Silvani, Gary Malarkey, Stephen O'Reilly, Tim Darcy.
Yep.
Who else we got, Nicky? Mick Schultz. You get all them on down there. Wouldn't have mattered. Yep. So I just, look, if Jack Henry is out this week injured, yep, you'll say, okay. If he's playing this week, he was 100% last week. He's had a bad night.
Yep. Marky Mark, Cassim McNeely is number one season ticket fan. What's wrong with Warple? One touch to half time. I'll take Mitch Nevitt if that's how low the bar is.
He was ordinary. I know you're a fan, Kingy. They got him on a 4-year deal. This day, very, very early stage, they've just left the gates of the deal, but he's just going. He was poor. He had a lot of mates, so hopefully he can hit back. It's a really good test for him too. Like he would know that he was poor. He's coming up against a pretty good North Melbourne midfield. So really good test for some of those players who are on the fringe. He's one, I reckon, he's on the fringe. If they keep Manor in, he's on the fringe, Close. Ollie Henry, there's a few blokes there. But Warple is one that he needs to be a consistent player, which is what he was when he was at his best for Hawthorn.
Yep.
He was like an Atkins. You could pencil him in and knew what he did.
25 and 10.
He's been up and down since he's joined the Cats, which is, as I said, he had the injury. So let's just cut him a little bit of slack. But, yeah, he's one that needs to be a really sort of, what's the word, Kingy? A reliable foot soldier. Yep. And at the moment, he's a bit unreliable.
Medicus with a big call. Should the Cats retire Dangerfield ASAP to free up the list spot for the coming mid-season draft? He's probably only got a handful of games left in the tank as it is and probably should have hung them up after the grand final. Well, he wasn't going to hang them up because he had a contract and he won't be retiring mid-season.
Oh, no, you're 100 to 1. You've got more chance of me going to that nudist colony, Kingy.
Arngold, are the Cats being too innovative with flexibility and as a result team cohesion has suffered or has the coach maybe lost the group? I think the coach has lost the group.
Well, it's a big call.
Be innovative. They won four. Can you be a little bit...
Didn't they win four of their last five after the previous proprietor? Yeah. which is the ability to react to one bad game is quite extraordinary. He's lost the group. I think that's...
he's asked the question whether he...
Well, I think that's sort of Steven's sort of Spielberg arrangement.
Can I go on to
what was the other part of the question?
Are the Cats being too innovative with their flexibility?
Perhaps there is something to that. Losing to Coney, then they lost Blitz after injury was a disaster. Now you can't forecast that that's going to happen, but perhaps there's a little bit to that. I don't think you'd be washing that one away completely. But you would have thought though, the Cats are such an experienced group that wouldn't impact them in the same fashion it would if you're making four or five changes out of a younger team. The guys that they're bringing in have all played a lot of footy. Guys that they're dropping out have played footy. Yeah, they're not bringing in five kids. They're managing players and bringing in experienced players. So there probably is a little bit to it, but I wouldn't have suggested that's an issue. And I'm pretty sure that the player that Chris Scott hasn't lost the group.
No.
He's on the Gold Coast playing golf.
Which tells you he's invested because he's trying to actually find...
Maybe he just likes the golf up there, King. He didn't want to play Royal Adelaide. He wanted to go and play
Kionga.
Something called Sanctuary. Everything up there is called Sanctuary.
He would have played Royal Pines, I would have thought.
Oh, I don't know what he played. He might have played just the Dolby back nine.
Mick Howley, Cats forward line missing Stengel and Myers. Too many marking targets, not enough crummers.
Yeah, that's why I thought Wilshire was interesting that they didn't play him because he's a bit different. So I agree that there is something there to that. And the other thing about it is that, you know, Ollie Henry doesn't provide you much defensively. Patrick Dangerfield doesn't provide you anything defensively, really. He'll lay that big odd tackle, but he's not interested in that side of the game. That's never been his go. Jeremy Cameron is no interest in doing that either. Shannon Neal, okay for a big bloke, but it's not really his go. And Brad Close, well, he can't get near the ball, regardless whether we've got it or they've got it, to do anything. So the ball is getting whisked. Well, it was on Saturday night. It was getting whisked out of the back half, like Billy-O. The pressure needs to be up. And then if the other side of the coin then is if the midfield are having a bad night, which they did, it just exacerbates the problem. You've got no forward pressure. You've got a midfield that's getting flogged. The ball's going down to the forward line at a million miles an hour, and the defence has got no chance.
Well, that leads to premieres. Can you really play a cameo role sitting in the goal square in modern footy, not having to chase and no defensive acts?
Yeah.
Now, one of the forwards from the team on the weekend are known for defensive pressure. The mix is wrong.
Yeah, and we need to see it a little bit more in terms of, I think, saying that definitively, but I think that you could argue that's a possibility trending forward. Yeah, I don't disagree with that. The mix isn't right. You know, even Stengel, was Stengel a great pressure player? Probably not. We missed that buzzy...
Rowan.
Rowan, probably. Rowan's the one who could impact the game and maybe only touch the ball seven times, kick you two goals and then lay three tackles. Yeah. We don't have that, and there are too many marking players. Dangerfield's a marking player. I mean, the other one we mentioned, Jack Martin. I mean, I probably could run past him. He's slow and wet weak. So you've got Neil marking, Cameron, who's a marking type player, Dangerfield a marking player, Martin a marking player. He's clean at ground level, but you know, more of a marking player. Ollie Henry is a marking player. And then you've got Myers, Close, who can't get near it, and Mann, who's been pretty ordinary three of the last four.
Yep.
That's your forward line. So, yeah, there is a lack of a pressure and a lack of a crummer.
Simon Quinn, g'day boys, not a great hit out. The second possessions out of defence had a less successful conversion rate than a 1994 Tom King Nutbush. We'll bounce back, but it's a Cats signature move to have one or two Kevin Costner wide Earps instead of a Val Kilmer Doc Holliday. Some movie references there.
Yeah, he sent me a bit of musical stuff too. Simon.
Marshall, putrid performance, winning at home in West Coast, anywhere else, and cannot withstand pressure. Dead on transition out of our forward line, frequently untouched. Mid slightly better than forward half, which is still shit. Warple, Close, Bose, Henry, awful. Team of plotters. I've got one for you.
React too much to one game, but no. I don't disagree with all this, but just I think lock, stock, and two smoking barrels. Chill, Winston, chill.
Can I put one to you? Jed Buse to come in to play on Paul Curtis.
Kenny, I think, look, I would be happy with that, but I've got more chance of me winning the macrame at the nudist colony.
Right. Can I get to
the
big,
folding
big footy? Catters, hi gents, further to our conversation.
I'm a black belt macrame.
Are you? Further to the conversation around our next captain, suggestions of Sean Manor and Zach Guthrie given age, on-field leadership and character. Sean Manor just needs to get a kick at the moment. It might be Zach Guthrie. I suspect the Cats might look to Stewart for 2 years to see out his career as captain.
He'll be 35.
Who?
Stewart.
Well, Dangerfield came in as captain at what age?
30? No, but he'll be. Do you think he'll play at least 35?
Well, 2 more years? Dangerfield's done at the end of this year.
I think Stewart might be done at the end of next year.
You reckon?
Yeah. Okay. Well, you got to start to regenerate at some point.
You do?
Yeah. We're only pontificating. Yeah. You're one serious injury away at that age for being done.
True. Yeah. I would have thought Stewart's got 2 more, and at the end of that 2, that's when you look at
what's Stewart, 33? Or 32?
32, I reckon, but let me confirm.
I'm not trying to retire him, but I just think you don't want to forecast too far ahead when you're at that age. We saw last year Tom Stewart have his struggles.
He's just turned 33,
actually.
There you
go, so he's going to be 35. I don't think you want to be prognosticating beyond any 1 year once you hit 33.
Is he contracted?
Have you ever prognosticated, Tom?
It's a big word. I don't even know how to spell it, Ben. I'm just trying to work out when he's contracted to. It must be to the end of next year, Tom Stewart. Let me just have a quick confirm of that. Yeah, end of next year. Do you reckon that'll see him out?
Next year?
Yep.
Well, no. Well, I don't know. I'm not in the business of just saying these guys are going to... But I just don't think you want to think any more beyond next year.
Because they're not putting your captain in for 1 year. If they think Stewart can play...
I reckon Connor O'Sullivan, if he doesn't get injured... He will have reached 90 games by the end of next year.
He's only on 30-odd.
Sorry, he'd be 70 games, yeah. He probably needs 1 more year.
That's one thing. He's Stewart maybe for 2 years.
Well, maybe.
Or somebody for 2, yeah. And then O'Sullivan.
Well, Stewart's the obvious one if Dangerfield gives it away. I wouldn't want to be thinking Stewart playing beyond any further than playing beyond 28. I'm not saying he won't, but I don't think you want to be planning for that.
Fox Dog 50, gents, I reckon I'm in the minority here, like properly out of my own. I'd love to see George Stevens get a decent run at it. I really would, but if I'm being honest, I've got a nagging feeling he's heading down the Charlie Constable / George Hall and Smith path.
Yes.
Just dominating at the level below, and we all keep asking, why isn't he playing? He can clearly win his own footy, not scared of the hard stuff, uses it well, no real issues.
Yep.
But then you watch the game, and it's just all speed, pressure, repeat efforts, and you start thinking, does he have that extra gear? Because if you don't, you're in trouble quickly.
Yep.
Makes you wonder if that's the same reason blokes like Tom Mitchell couldn't get another contract.
Yes.
Maybe that inside-only mid isn't as valuable as it used to be. Anyway, I'll probably still be calling for him to get a game every second week, knowing full well how it usually ends.
Who's written that?
That's Foxdog 50.
Yeah, I think Foxdog, you've sort of answered your own question really well.
Yep.
I think you're right. With the stand rule, the way the game is sped up, the inside midfielder isn't as key, because it's more key to be able to move and cover ground and be quick. And that isn't George Stevens. And that's why he excels at the VFL level, because the game is a lot scrappier. He gets to more contests.
Yep.
You don't need to be as quick to get to the next contest. And it suits him, and he uses the ball well and he stands out. But the gap between VFL and AFL is enormous playing his position.
Yep.
And, he couldn't have written that any better. That's why Hall and Smith couldn't make it comfortable. And they weren't playing with these stand rules.
No.
Where the game's just going at a million miles an hour.
Yep, and the lasso with the balls move.
Love a good lasso. Have you ever been lassoed, Kingy?
Brad Close, he's 27 years of age.
Like late night lasso at the nightclub.
And he should be in the prime of his career.
Just out of the blue, when you're just having a blue Curacao and Coke.
Yuck. Some people can have a side business and it doesn't worry them, but ever since Close has been doing more of his own golf business side, can that be a distraction for him not being fully committed? Does look like that from the outer. Patrick Dangerfield's got the fishing interests and the boating interests and all that sort of stuff.
Got more interest in... Did you see... We're talking about interests.
Oh, here we go. I don't have time.
Did you see... Yes, you do, Tom. You've got time.
No, I don't have time.
Jerome and the team at Curzio.
No, I don't have time for you to be an idiot.
Did you see who signed up OnlyFans and made $1.5 million?
No idea.
In 1 week.
Who?
The girl out of American Pie. I can't think of her name.
Which one? Tara Reid.
No.
Alison Hannigan.
No. No.
Shannon Elizabeth.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
$1.5 million jumped in OnlyFans in 1 week.
Right.
And do you know what's happened, Tom? You got to have a code for that sort of stuff, right?
You've got one.
Do you know who has the code?
You do.
I could be up tonight late.
Love Zach Tui's comments on the broadcast. You can see he didn't like some of the feedback from after the game, people on text and Twitter, which I can fully understand if I was his position, as 90% of the players are his mates, as some of those comments were just garbage. Daz Broncos, that was crap in Vegas for 3 weeks for work, no days off, got up for it, made it to halftime and was crook. Cold and flu, not drinking influenced, still working sick, seems like it's pretty much how the game ended up. If you're 5% off your game in this league, you will get done, and we were, it seemed. Yep. Can we group the VFL buy schedule has not helped keeping players ready to week to week, looking to get into the 23. We have to rest whom needs it, Blitz, Edwards and bring in Stanley. Is this the right move, or go one more with Edwards? I'd be resting Edwards.
Yeah, look, we seem to think that's the logical thing to do. I mean, it doesn't always work out that way. The Cats might have other ideas. They may feel that Edwards can bounce back and
train with the main group that we saw on Tuesday.
Right, well, he's a million to one then if he didn't train.
Howler 41 at 4-1. I thought that's another 4 points for the Pussycats. Blit bends the knee, and when we fully inverted, our old problems of midfield clearances and kicking inside 50 reared its head again. Three tackles inside 50 in a game is not ideal. Like to see Wiltshire come in as he's more a crumbing type with pace.
Yep.
Junk has a rest and unlock Stanley's freezer. After that, we need a great Gazook story. We haven't got time for one. And alrighty, late reply. I've been posting about giving him a shot as a defensive forward. I think this is talking about Stevens. He can get the pill, mark it, kick it well, distribute and tackle. All things we're not doing it well.
Yeah, he's too slow. He can only play in the midfield if he's playing anywhere. He can't play anywhere else. He just get run off, unfortunately. And he can't spread quick enough at the AFL level to get to the conduit. We just spoke about that. He's a pure midfielder. He's no way he can play any other position. And it's just the way of the world. He's there as a good VFL player, and you know, he may get a crack for a game or two if they're desperate in terms of the mix and what they need, injuries, all those sorts of things. But if he's in our team, and I'm no disrespect to him, I'm not. I actually met him, like I think I said that a few weeks ago. He's a lovely bloke, like, and everyone at Warrnambool speaks quite highly of him. He's a good fella. He's well liked. He's humble. All those sorts of things. Mm. He just doesn't quite have it at this elite level of footy. Yep. So if he's playing in a big game for the Cats, I think we're in trouble. That's not a knock on him, though. I don't want people to think I'm just knocking him. No. If he's in, we're in trouble. Either we've got injuries or we're going that bad that they've had to change the mix-up completely.
See you Saturday.
Yeah, Kingy. Hey, what about the nudist colony gag?
The Cat Attack Podcast. Kerr's Hire. Locally owned and operated for over 40 years.